This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and junkies, and welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. With me, as always, wearing his six-man tag team championship belt, the Doctor.
Dr. Damn straight.
It is. It is. It must be nice.
Are you being a flunky or a junkie? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I'm definitely. Well, I'm both, I guess. It depends on what I'm flunking and what I'm junking, but... I'm a junkie for wrestling, like we all are here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. A lot of great shows this week. But let's dive right into the turkey, sir. Episode 6 of – was it 6 or 5? 6. 6 of UWN Primetime Live went down this past week. We had already heard the announcement, Dr. G, that there will be an inaugural UWN World Heavyweight Champion. And this past week, the brackets were announced. Eight men will collide to decide who will be the first ever champion of the UWN. And the first match will be this coming Tuesday. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's dive right in and take a look at the results. The opening match on Tuesday. By the way, I don't think there's any question that the production has really gotten fairly crisp. You know, they've had, after that first week, which was a fucking mess, definitely these last, you know, what, two, three, four, five, these last four episodes, five episodes, they've definitely gotten their shit together in terms of production. Graphics look nice. Still not crazy about the announcers. I kind of miss Joe Galli. I don't like the fact we don't have an NWA presence behind the mic, but all in all, package-wise, they've definitely gotten a lot better as the weeks have progressed.
Yes, it's gotten better. And, you know, like we say, it's hard to really judge right now anything that's going on with wrestling and production. I mean, obviously, WWF or WWE is the top. There's nobody better than them when it comes to production. But in terms of something like this, I think it's definitely gotten better. Mm-hmm. When I watch it, I just realized how good of a job they were doing with the power shows. And that's not just the production per se, although I think the production was better on the power shows, believe it or not. I like the fact how they, you know, of course, this is a more of a pay-per-view, but in the power shows, I like the way they were, you know, the interviews. It kind of gave that Saturday night feel that we used mm-hmm. to watch
yep.
on TBS. But those promos really built up the matches that we were looking for. And again, we're trying to learn a lot of these newer guys, and we're seeing some of them week after week, so we're getting a little used to it. But I don't want to base any judgment on the UWN or anything at this point with the way we have to do things based on COVID. So, I mean, they're doing as good a job as they can. I think the tournament's going to definitely add a little spice to the action, which is something mm-hmm. we've needed.
Right.
And if you're a tournament type of person, then I would definitely get some of these shows while this tournament's going on. I guess it's going to go, the tournament's going to go over the next few shows. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend, if you haven't gotten this yet and you're listening to this, I think you're going to like what you see, and we'll break that down later. But I agree with you. I think the production definitely is much better than it was the first week.
Right. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was playing about. Yeah, no, I agree.
Not like you.
Yeah. By the way, before we begin, we had a title change in the UWN last weekend. after we finished taping our show, so we didn't know about it, and it was found out on via Twitter. We have a new UWN television champion. The guy who had the who had a title shot back in week one and could not get the job done, did get it done last weekend. Levi Shapiro is your new UWN TV champion. He beat Dan Joseph last weekend. After we saw Dan Joseph in a tough battle last week, he loses the title last weekend. So a harbinger of things to come for guys that hold TV belts? Yeah. Anyway, Levi Shapiro is your new UWN TV champion. We do have a couple. We will have two title matches on this episode, one UWN belt and one NWA belt. But we open with Max Caster. He's the rapper with the boombox, taking on Jesse James. No, not Road Dogg, a guy that actually calls himself Jesse James, complete with, mustache and cowboy hat, black tights, black boots. He kind of reminds me of like Black Bart, you know, or Jimmy Jack Funk. He kind of had that look about him. Decent opener. Nothing crazy. Your thoughts?
Well, with that match, match was okay. We were talking about the opening promos. Jesse yes. James didn't exactly excite me.
No,
watching didn't those promos. Me either. I mean, he was kind of really that I have to say was one of the times where it just looked like low rent indie, you know. I don't even know if you want to even go great value. What's lower than great value?
Ocean State Job Lots? Dollar Store?
Yeah, the Dollar Store. Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree. Yes, Dollar Tree.
He didn't do too much for me, to be honest.
Yeah, he was okay. They did do the usual. It's now their thing now. They kind of took it from old school, you know, Saturday Night's Main Event.
I like it, though.
Montage. I like it, too, but some of them are not good. And Max Caster's not bad, but Jesse James is not, and that's why I think Max Caster won. So there's your opener. And we dive back into the women's division. Miranda Alize from Rio took on Christy James. And again, not the best in terms of promo cutting. Neither promo was really that stellar. The match itself actually wasn't bad. It's really hard right now, Dr. G, to gauge the women's division because I feel like it's not really a division within the UWN. I feel like they're picking from a lot of not just Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Phoenix, but from other, you know, local promotions along the West Coast. So it's hard to gauge whether the specific women's division is that good. Because I don't think it's their ladies, but who they do put out there is amazing. And I think they've been very impressive in ring promos. They could use a little work, but these two may not have cut the best promos at the beginning of the show, but they put on a pretty good match.
Do they need to hang out with Paul down in Orlando?
Paul in Orlando. Yeah, you get a booth at the Performance Center. You sit in a booth and you critique your own promos. Maybe that's what they need. I don't know.
The promos definitely needed a little work. The match itself wasn't too bad. I mean, you know, some of the women's matches haven't been that bad. Every week that I watch these things, it just amazes me the amount of women that are in wrestling now. I mean, they used to struggle, even when women's wrestling was part of the card, just to even get sometimes four women on a card. Now it's like there's so many to choose from because the women's revolution has really hit its stride. And now you're seeing all the companies really embracing the women's division. And I think we've pretty much seen a women's match every week since the UWN pay-per-views have started. So they're definitely some weeks always thought of to be part of the show.
Yeah. And some weeks we've had two.
Yeah.
We've had two women's matches. So
it's a good chance for them to showcase themselves because like you said, AEW could use some for their roster. Mm. We're always thinking about the men who's going to jump to AEW, but there's going to be, they need to build their women's division. So here you go. Here's a chance to showcase what you have.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
To go to the next level.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And again, Miranda Alize and Christy James had a good match. Their promo skills could use a little work. But I thought it was, but it was a good match. They work really hard. Listen, it's not easy. It's not easy to wrestle in front of no crowd. We've talked about it many times, trying to watch matches with no crowd. Imagine actually wrestling them with no crowd. It's not easy. So I give them a lot of credit. But Miranda Alize, the one from Rio, and she was talking about like Carnival and something in her promo. And I see where she was trying to go with it, but it could use a little work. We had our first title match of the evening, the UWN Tag Team Titles, your champions, SoCal Distancing. Come on, that's funny. Taking on Friendship Farm. That's your wife's pal there, Robin Shaw. Uncle Chunk there.
Oh, man.
And, of course, mine and Steve Willey's favorite ever, good old Jervis himself, Jervis Cottonbelly. And but one thing about Robin Shaw, at least they didn't have him wear like that flesh colored tights. They had him wear like this full outfit with like tassels. It actually didn't look that bad. And SoCal's distancing, of course, is the former Static. Fun match, and I tell you something though, Robin Shaw can move around for a guy that's that carries a lot of girth.
He can.
But he moves around a lot. He's the big guy, and Jervis is the little guy, and you know they brawl. They always brawl. They hit a big move on the floor on the Maple Leaf Gardens.
You know what would be interesting to see what the reaction of the fans would be. If we had fans in the building to a team like that, would they be over, or would they be pretty much being booed out of the building? Maybe in Philly, they definitely get booed out of the building. But
Probably.
Again, it's like it's so tough because we're learning a lot about these new guys in the UWM. But it would be interesting to see if they were over with a crowd.
Correct. I do agree with you on that. They got to work a little harder on kind of churning things up a little bit, coming up with some different teams, and really kind of galvanize this tag division. SoCal Distancing is a good team. They're very physical. But we don't have that team that we could jump on. Maybe the Bodega guys, they're pretty good. That team, the team, the money team. We're still trying to get their names down. Not dollars and cents, although that'd be a really fun sounding tag team. But the tag division's gotta definitely grow a little bit. But SoCal Distancing retains their titles with a win over Friendship Farm, which we make fun of, like two goof wrestlers. But they did put on a good match. And I tell you something, we laugh at this kid Robin Shaw, but he can move around for a guy that's, again, carrying some girth. And he has new outfit on, so we don't have to look at his moobs. but a fun match regardless. This was a fantastic match. Probably the match of the night for me. Our good friend, Mike Bennett, taking on J.R. Kratos, who's this big dude. He just toured Japan. Very well known. Big dude. And Mike Bennett's a guy that is clearly on both UWN and the NWA radar as a guy that they like to see as a regular. And we'll talk about regulars in a minute because obviously we have to talk about the world title tournament. This was a real fun match. Mike Bennett, this is a guy, Dr. G, that I've always been a fan of when he was in Ring of Honor. He's a good storyteller. Sadly, he kind of got pigeonholed in WWE. I also think that they didn't give him a chance because the company's not a big fan of his wife. You can thank the Bellas for that. But I do think that the guy knows how to tell a story. He knows how to be an underdog. He works his ass off. And, I mean, J.R. Kratos is one of those just big, powerful, lumbering guys. Hits hard, strikes hard. It was a solid match. I would definitely say it was close to 20 minutes. I would say maybe 15, 16-minute match. And they really hit each other hard. Mike Bennett escapes with the win. to set himself up for his tournament match, which we'll talk about in a moment. Your thoughts on the match, and what do you think of Mike Bennett? Because I know you weren't totally familiar with him before week one when he took on Nick Aldis for the world title. What are your thoughts on him so far?
But I definitely like him better than his WWE character. You know, this is more him, you know, the way he is. Again, I think he's really improved. He's matured. And this match, it was good. I mean, you know, Mike Bennett, shows a little bit of psychology. He shows a little bit of, brute power at times. But he could also wrestle with you. You know, he is a pretty good, I wouldn't say the total complete package, but pretty close to it. And I could see him being a future, you know, world champion in terms of either NWA or the UWN. I think he has the talent to lead a smaller company, you know. And of course, having that Ring of Honor experience, listen, Ring of Honor, you know, they're just one of those companies that are a little, right now, people underestimate them, but over the years, over the last 10, 15 years, there's a lot of great talent that's come out of Ring of Honor. And if you could wrestle with those guys, you could pretty much wrestle with anyone, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And Ring of Honor, which, you know, it doesn't totally focus on the creative part of it. They've always been an in-ring based creative style.
They have.
And Mike Bennett definitely is he's a former pure champion. I don't think he ever was Ring of Honor world champion, but he's definitely a guy that you could strap a rocket ship to, and we'll talk about that in a moment if he's the one they're thinking of. You know,
I mean,
there's a lot of great guys in that bracket.
Don't you feel he's improved though since his WWE days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, he was a veteran. What's funny, Dr. G, is he was great in spite of WWE. His ROH run before going to WWE was exemplary. WWE did the best he could, but he got a dopey gimmick, big shock. And again, I think that when the Bellas were there, the Bellas had issues with Maria before she left. And I think they kind of needled her a little bit. So I don't think Mike Bennett and Maria got the Kanellises got the true push that they deserved. And Mike Bennett ended up getting stuck on 205 Live in like the death spot of the week's programming. He never got a fair shake. I would have had him go to NXT. He'd have been a great, you know, because he's got ties with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, all ROH alums. So I would have probably stuck Mike Bennett in NXT instead of burying him on Raw or whatever and then sticking him in 205 Live, which is like a dungeon for a lot of guys. So they don't even have a Cruiserweight belt anymore. The Cruiserweight title's is now on NXT. So I think what they should have done is just put him in NXT. I think he would have thrived there with Adam Cole and Fish, O'Reilly, and Roddy. They're all ROH alums, you know?
Definitely a good NXT guy he would have been.
I agree.
But listen, let's see what he does here. Let's see what he does here on the indie circuit. Again, the indie circuit was doing so well before COVID, and it's so tough now for these guys. And, you know, that's why now with another company around, a big company like AEW, some of these guys have a little bit more chance to gain some work at one of the big companies. But, you know, there's only so many spots in both companies, you know, especially if they're not able to make live TV, you know, live event revenue.
Right.
So it's tough. It's a shame because we probably have some of the most overall talent in professional wrestling in the last, like, you know, from current day to the last 5 years in terms of overall just so much talent. Not saying it's better than the Attitude, you know, I'm not comparing eras. What I'm saying is there's just so much. There's so many guys that are training, so many guys and women that are training to become wrestlers. And because you have an NXT, because you have all these indie promotions and now AEW, you see so many, really so much good talent that somebody goes down, there's somebody else to bring into a spot if you need it. And with some of these indie federations, like, you know, I mean, I guess you could consider NWA an indie you know, the UWN. There's, you know, these are feeder systems for the big two companies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny that we're kind of getting a spike back up again in, you know, it's, everything's always cyclical. And now we're going back to the days of the territories, because we kind of have territories now. Think about it. We covered on Main Event, which, by the way, was a tremendous episode this past week. Please check it out. We covered everything. I mean, right now, what Steve, Nate, and I call it on Main Event is the wrestling six-pack. WWE, AEW, Impact, NWA, Ring of Honor, and New Japan. It's like the six-pack of wrestling. And UWN counts under NWA. And then you got all the little plate. You know, you have Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You've got CZW and... You know, you've got, you know, some other smaller promotions. And then the women's wrestling, you still have Shimmer still goes, you know. So it's almost like the landscape is changing back to what it was in the 70s and 80s before Vince swallowed them all up. You're seeing these groups come out because they want to compete. And everybody's getting an opportunity.
And again,
you know?
because of all these wrestling schools that are out there, you're having more talent, you know, readily available to you. You know, listen, I'm sure in some of these schools there's some shit talent, but occasionally you get a few diamonds in the rough, and those are the guys you hope that make it, or at least, you know, Billy Corgan, yes, does okay for himself. He's had a very nice career, but he's not going to sit there and sink millions and millions of dollars into a company right now that, you know, he's not sure if he can make any money with. So he's trying to do the best he can. So he had to find another revenue source, and this is why he hooked on with the UWN.
Yeah, and again, I think everybody realizes this situation is temporary, and I think we will see NWA power again. And
I know, we keep saying it's temporary, but I feel like we've been saying that for months now.
Well, no, we haven't been saying this for months. We haven't been saying this for months because this has only been going on for 7 weeks. This relationship,
well,
I think, is temporary.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking more about the situation, the COVID situation.
No. I'm talking about the agreement between. If it's permanent, then wrestling's the least of our problems. But I'm talking about the relationship between NWA and UWN. I don't think Primetime Live is going to be a permanent thing. Well, it could be, but it won't be with NWA guys. I think NWA will eventually, when things are back to normal, go back to Atlanta and to the GPC and start taping
GPB.
GPC, GPB, GPA, BCD, EFG, HIJ, Hotlanta. Anyway, they'll go back to Atlanta and start taping Power again. In our main event, we had our second title match of the evening, and stemming from last week's tag team issue, the outlandish Zicky Dice, your boy complete with his pink t-shirt, defends the World Television Championship against the Pope, Elijah Burke. And Zicky Dice jumped Burke early in the match. Burke was laying out on the floor. And then Zicky Dice was just on a fucking tear, cutting vicious heel promos in the ring.
He was. He was actually pretty good.
He was really good. It was the best I think I've ever seen him. Mouthing off to Billy, saying the show sucks. And it was almost like Chris Dickinson, except on a slightly more comical scale. Eventually, the Pope rebounds. He cut a great promo earlier in the show, very Dusty-ish. And that's a telling statement from what I'll say in a minute. Yeah. And they went back and forth. I thought Zicky Dice was going to retain it a couple times. The Pope hit his finisher after ducking out of Zicky Dice's finisher. And he got the three count. So the Pope, baby, the Pope, Elijah Burke, is your new NWA World's Television Champion. Thank God for that. and then the Pope cut this great promo in the rings. He was talking like Dusty. He wore black and gold, just like the polka dot, baby. And... I'm excited. I feel like Zicky Dice really didn't want to stay.
Pope
and I think
is so good on the stick. Wow.
He really
he is really good. How he did not make it in the WWE, I have no idea. He could basically step in. He could be a great heel. I think in this time now, it looks like he's more of a face, you know, after beating Zicky Dice, but he could be a great heel in one of the, you know, two big companies. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he could definitely gain some heat.
Well, when he was there in 2007, you know, he was part of the new breed.
Oh, it was that long ago now, huh?
Wow. Yeah, he was part of the new breed. Well, he was in TNA as D'Angelo De Niro for quite a long time. You know, for at least 3 or 4 years, I think, and he was in TNA. There just was no room. There just wasn't any room. The roster was stuffed, you know? And
yeah, but I mean, I mean, I'm not saying he's the best wrestler that's out there, but in regards to the way he is on the mic, I mean, come on. I can't believe he's not one of the two big companies now.
It could be. You know, I think it's all about exposure. And now that the NWA has a platform, particularly on Fight, he does have some exposure. So who knows? Maybe WWE
may get lost a little bit in the WWE, but I could see him being a heel in the AEW. Easy.
In the AEW. You did a Brettism there. You said the AEW. Is that like the SummerSlam? Is this going to be the Primetime Live?
Do you have a brother? The six-man champion.
Do you have a brother named Owen? Your brother Owen? It's not Owen. It's Owen. Your brother Owen. Anyway, so that's how the show ends, with the Pope holding the NWA World's Television Championship up high. So in the last couple of weeks, in the last few weeks, Dr. G, we've seen some titles change in the NWA. Of course, a few weeks ago, Trevor Murdoch won the national championship over Aaron Stevens, Shooter Stevens, and which we're not going to hear anymore, so I probably shouldn't say anymore. And now, of course, the Pope is your new TV champion. All right, so that was Primetime Live. Good show. I still don't like the announcing. I think we need an NWA presence on announcing. We don't have it. No Joe Galli. No Mooney. It's kind of a bummer, I'll be honest, but we do what we can. Todd Kennelly's not terrible. I don't know where that girl went.
Mooney gets back into the business and all this.
Yeah, and this shit happens. He brought Mooney bringing the COVID. No, he didn't. Anyway, so there's your episode of UWM Primetime Live for this past week. Again, not a bad episode. A couple title matches. Women's division looks strong. Mike Bennett and JR Kratos, definitely the match of the night. But now let's talk about what starts this coming Tuesday on episode 7 of the of UWM Primetime Live. The UWN World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. The belt is gorgeous. It does say world champion, by the way, Dr. G. I know you were talking about that with the word, because I know you're very big on the word world. World champion is on the belt. The eight flags. There's a U.S. flag. I think that's a Chinese flag, a Australian flag, and a Mexican flag on one side, and on the other side, a British flag, a Canadian flag, a Japanese flag, and a Mexican flag, or Puerto Rican flag. I'm sorry, Puerto Rican. Yeah, it's on one side. It's Great Britain, because it's the Union Jack, Canada, Japan, and Puerto Rico. And on the other side, it's the U.S., I think that's China, Australia, and Mexico. So, all right, so here is your brackets. We'll start off with the first match this coming week. Peter Avalon, his buddy, the librarian. Of course, Peter Avalon had a big feud a few years ago in the NWA with Tim Storm, taking on your boy, at Born Dirty, Die Dirty, Chris Dickinson. Who do you like in that match?
Dickinson, of course.
Yeah, pretty easy. That's your guy. Is he going to think this tournament's shit? Is this tournament shit?
This is shit.
All right. They will take on the winner of the next match on that side of the bracket, Eric Redbeard. Of course, formerly known as Eric Rowan in the WWE, part of the Wyatt family, taking on a guy you and I actually know very well now, because we've seen him in a couple of matches here on Primetime Live, and that is Watts. I'm looking forward to that match. That's going to be a big, stiff beat fest, but
I do too.
What do you think?
I'm going to go with Eric Redbeard.
Eric Redbeard. You like that, huh? Redbeard.
Good old Rowan.
Good old Rowan. Yep. So, all right. So, in one bracket, you like Eric Redbeard versus Chris Dickinson. On the other side, a guy that we saw a few weeks ago who wrestled a great match against my pal there, Slice Boogie, my Met fan, Slice Boogie, Mr. Carl Fredericks. Of course, he's the one from the LA, the New Japan LA Dojo, taking on a guy we just saw this 2 weeks ago, Fred Rosser, a.k.a. Darren Young. Who do you like there?
Fred Rosser.
Really? Okay. I'm actually going to go with Carl Fredericks, because Fred Rosser did sign a deal with New Japan, so I don't know how long Fred Rosser is going to be around. If he wins, awesome. I have a feeling I like Carl Fredericks here, but we'll see. And in the other half, on that side of the bracket, probably the The highlight match of the first round, Mike Bennett taking on Baby Bulldog. That's what I called him on main event. Davey Boy Smith Jr. I am very much looking forward to this match. What do you think?
This is going to be a good match. You know what? I'm going to go with Davey Boy Jr. here because I think I do see some big things from Mike Bennett, but I think Mike Bennett is starting to get pissed off. And I think, you know, they're showing like, you know, he just lost one to a tough one to the NWA World Champion. You know, he did win his match this past week, but I don't know. I there's something about Davey Boy Jr. I like going into this tournament when they announced it. So I'm going to stick with my gut and I'm going to go with Davey Boy in this one.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I like Mike Bennett because I have a feeling that he's destined to make it to the finals. So, all right. So you have Eric Redbeard and Chris Dickinson in the semifinals. What do you think?
Eric Redbeard and
Chris Dickinson you have in one semifinal.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go Chris Dickinson there.
Okay. And then you have Fred Rosser and Davey Boy Smith Jr. in the other half.
I'm going to go with Davey Boy Smith Jr. And that's my good pal from across the pond, Callum McDougall, on my NWA Crock and Roll show. We agreed on that. So that's we're in agreement. That's it. So the final's going to be Chris Dickinson versus Davey Boy Jr.
And I know you like Chris Dickinson to win.
I do. I do. I the way they have kind of intertwined every week with Chris Dickinson, and you know, they highlighted him a lot. I think he's the guy they want to roll with, and I don't think it's bad to have a heel champion, world champion to start. You know, to start. Getting your federation or your company on the map with a world title.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, I got Carl Fredericks against Mike Bennett, and I like Mike Bennett to win, and I like I have Dickinson and Redbeard, and I like Dickinson as well. So I have Dickinson and Bennett, and I think that match is going to be epic. I wouldn't be surprised if it eats up half the show that night. When we get to that episode of Primetime Live and we're in the finals.
Okay. I mean, listen, it's not a bad choice.
But I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Chris Dickinson is your world champion. I think they have a good, solid, bona fide heel right now. You got to strike while the iron's hot.
I agree.
And have Dickinson and Bennett have a killer feud. And then maybe as you get towards the end of the year into December and into 2021, maybe you do a mega pay-per-view with the NWA and UWN and have a ton of title matches, have Nick Aldis defend the world's title against somebody, maybe Fred Rosser, maybe Davey Boy Jr. One of those guys gets a shot at Sweet Charlotte and load up a card. Let's have some fun. Let's get a card, you know, because I don't know if we're going to get into the fire in December or we're going to get hard times in January. So fuck it. Let's build to something fun, Dr. G, in December
or
January.
Say if he wins the belt, what is this shit?
This is a shit belt. He'll push around the fucking fat announcers and yeah. No, it's gonna be yeah, it's a big deal.
I think eight solid guys. You know, nobody, you know, you got some veterans that were in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You have some veterans on the independent circles, and you know, you have a little second generation going on here, so I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. It's gonna be a fun
forward to the
few
tournament.
Weeks.
I think we needed something a little bit more. I was kind of, I have to say, you know, you know, the matches were pretty good this week, but I don't know if you could really sustain it. And listen, we did see some title changes in the NWA, which has been great. But I think if you need a little something more, and I think this will help people buy the pay-per-view. Because, again, people want to see a guy like, you know, the former Eric Rowan, Mike Bennett, you know, Fred Rosser. These are guys that have a name
with big companies, or, you know, the WWE, namely. So now you want to see, you know, what they could do away from the WWE.
Well, you I think they wanted to give the show some time to breathe before they threw this out there. That's why they waited till literally they waited till the first episode of the second bundle to do it. They
I don't think you start off with a tournament. I agree with you. How to build. I think they're, you know, you got to understand everything in life right now. Everybody's kind of booking their lives day by day. And I think, you know, the same goes for wrestling, because you don't know what's expected. So they're trying to find different things to get people to purchase the pay-per-view. And you have to do something. You have to give. And again, the UWN looks like it's been wanting to grow. They want to have their own world title. So here you go. This is a good chance to do it. And it really is a sharp looking belt, too.
I agree.
Belt junkies.
Yes, we are. We're belt junkies and flunkies. I agree. It's a legit belt. So we're looking forward to this coming Tuesday. We have another big match on Tuesday, a match that was originally booked for the second episode of Primetime Live. Our girl robbed of the top 10 spot in PWI's top 100 women's poll. By the way, before I go any further, Steve Willey and Nate Milton on this week's main event, they also handicapped the brackets. If you want to hear their opinions of how this bracket's going to go, check out this week's episode of the main event. One of the best
we've ever done. I will. I'll have to check it out now.
So it was very good. It was very good. Steve did an amazing job recapping the entire New Japan G1 Climax. He watched every single match, all 91 of them. We preview this weekend's. If you're listening to this on Saturday morning, tonight is Bound for Glory. Impact's version, you know, it's pretty much Impact's WrestleMania. And then tomorrow night, Sunday night, is of course Hell in a Cell. So we preview those, talked about some other stuff and some other fun things of wrestling. And Nate had a pretty good pick for his GWCW Classic match pick. So that's this week's episode of the main event. But they did do their handicapping of the brackets too. So this coming week, Dr. G, this coming Tuesday night, episode 7 of Primetime Live, we will get our first tournament match, and it will be Chris Dickinson against Peter Avalon. We also have another title match. Our girl, the amazing Thunder Rosa, who robbed out of a top 10 slot in PWI's top 100 women's wrestler poll list this year. She's taking on Serena Deeb, who was supposed to wrestle Thunder Rosa in week 2, but remember, she had to quarantine. She had COVID issues. Priscilla Kelly took her place.
Now that Thunder Rosa was on a little bit of AEW television now, she'll definitely move up some notches. I know that'll make you very happy.
It will. It better.
You got
fucking hell to pay. Hey, Steve Willey went on a rant. So check that out too.
Hey, dude, I can't. I'm looking forward to the show now.
Yeah, it was one of the best. I have to say it was one of the best main event shows in the history of the brand. So check it out here on the Place to Be Wrestling.
No, I haven't network. Gotten riled up yet. Who did that? You better watch out when that happens.
Well, nothing pisses you off. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Why isn't anything pissing me off? I don't know.
I don't know because guys you like and things you like are going your way. Your boy Chris Dickinson, probably a favorite in this tournament.
Well, you never know. So, if things don't go well in this tournament, I may have things to say. You never know.
Maybe Peter Avalon wins Tuesday. Who knows?
Oh, man. If he freaking wins, then I think I'll have something to say.
Yeah, that guy in his robe, and he likes librarians shit.
What's up with this shit?
You know what I gotta? You know what I want to ask you before we walk out the door? When do you think we will see Tim Storm?
I don't know. I mean, get it. You know, he is a teacher by trade, so obviously he probably has to be careful right now. You know, let's think about that. You know, because he is. He's in Arkansas, so I'm not sure. I think Arkansas is back in session with school, so they probably don't want him traveling all over the place. That's just my thought. I have no idea. This is just the, you know.
Oh, it's entirely possible. No, it's entirely possible.
I kind of miss him. I miss him. I miss, you know, I miss Aldis every week, you know, like I miss his, you know, Camille. I miss some of these guys. I even miss Shooter Stevens. I mean, you know, we got him the 1 week, but we need a little more Shooter Stevens. Like I said, I just miss some of the interview segments building up to the various matches that, you know, the way the NWA was doing it. But, you know, again, I don't know. You know, if Power was done right now in GPB Studios without a crowd, I don't know if it's still, you know, they still did the interviews. I don't know if it had that same effect.
I don't know either. Because I have a feeling that eventually we are going to see Billy Corgan try it. So who knows? But anyway, they got a good little home right now on UWM Primetime Live, and it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it every week, so stay with it. If you haven't watched it yet, I think it's $7.99. You can buy an episode, and then after not this week, but after the following week's episode, they'll be selling the next bundle of episodes 9 through 12. So check it out. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode.
I'm hoping that, you know, I'd love to get some feedback, you know, on what people think about this tournament, because, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, we haven't had something like this in a while where we have for the world championship, and it'd be fun. It's just a fun little thing to be able to, I mean, it's only 8 guys, but to break down the brackets. I enjoy doing that. I know you love that kind of stuff. So it'd be interesting to hear from people, you know, at Dr. GPTV. You know, let us know. Let us know who your winner is. Do you agree? You know, I have Davey Boy Jr. and Chris Dickinson. You know, Chris Dickinson winning it overall. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, we check it up on Twitter at PTV Potfather. Also, if you haven't joined our Place to Be discussion chat, group on Facebook, type Place to Be chats and ask for an invite, and maybe next Tuesday morning I'll put the bracket up and ask everyone what their thoughts are. So do that as well. So plenty of places to get your opinion and your comments and your feelings in. That is it for this week's episode of the Saturday Special. A little quicker than usual, but we were succinct in our opinions. Again, you can follow Dr. G on Twitter at Dr. G PTB. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. Yeah, it was a good week on the network. We had the Place to Be podcast. JR and Steve Bennett and I did the 422-91 MSG House Show. The fourth episode of Croc and Roll dropped this past week.
That's right.
July 1985. Great show. Ben Locke. It was a great show. And, of course, Main Event. So 3 big-time shows dropped on the network feed this past week. So, and more stuff to come. I believe remember, at some point this week,
Croc and Roll has the, you know, we're putting the challenge out there to Main Event. We're just not hearing nothing. You guys are no selling us, and I don't like it.
Steve Lee doesn't know what you're a doctor of. He thinks you're a podiatrist. He's a doctor. I'm not. Beat.